Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Utterly fabulous Mason Cole. Welcome, Mason.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I have to tell you that I think the bar is set higher for you than anybody else who's been on the show.
I know. It's a lot of pressure.
Is it?
I don't know
okay.
why.
Is it more pressure? Well, I don't know. I mean, but Mike Tomlin calling you a leader and steady Eddie, is that a compliment? Like when someone calls you steady Eddie.
I told you before this, I don't pay attention to a whole lot of stuff in the media, so I got asked this today in the locker room, too, and I just went along like I knew.
Your mom doesn't tell you?
No.
Or like your wife?
My mom definitely reads the media, but
she doesn't tell you?
She knows not to tell me, yeah. My wife doesn't read either. I've had some not bad experiences, but I had some rough years in Arizona, and I felt like I let the media get in my head, and I was just like, I was done with it. I just deleted Twitter.
Wait, so nobody told you that your head coach.
Well, like I said,
today
in the locker room,
they asked me today
in the locker room, some of the reporters in the locker room today asked me, and I was kind of caught off guard.
Teammates didn't tease you about it?
No.
Like nobody
no,
called
no.
you Eddie when you walked in?
No.
Have you ever been called a steady Eddie before?
No, I don't think so.
Are you a steady Eddie
at home?
That's
a good compliment. That's a question for my wife. I would like to think so.
You know what's funny? I ask Kevin Stefanski this all the time because he's the most level coach ever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do you yell at your kids? Like at home, you're a different person, right?
See, my wife is – I'm like a bigger guy. My wife is like 5 foot and like 110 pounds.
Which there's nothing wrong with that size.
No, yeah, exactly. But she's got the attitude that what comes with that size is having – she's got the sass. She carries enough sass and attitude and – For all of us. So someone's got to be the level head.
So you're saying for the two-year-old, you're the good cop and she has to be the bad cop?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
It's so
but
unfair.
She also spends all day at home with them. So by the time
Which
I get
is
home,
so
she's,
unfair.
She's sick of him when I'm ready for him to go crazy.
So here's another story about another steady Eddie, Joe Flacco. Have you ever met Joe Flacco?
I have not.
Okay, we'll get to that because obviously you love Jim Harbaugh, and John Harbaugh's man forever was Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco also, Joe Cool, so steady. But you get him talking about his kids, and he's got five of them, and he totally loses his mind, especially if you, like, have a conversation about the way they fight when they brush their teeth. You don't know all this yet because there's only one, but just wait. Should you want more?
We have another one on the way in March, so we're going to find out soon.
Congratulations.
We're going to find out soon.
Are you finding out if it's a girl or a boy?
It's another boy. So we have two boys.
Even better. I think Joe had four boys before he had a girl.
Yes.
So isn't your plans five?
Five is not in our plans.
In any case, Joe Flacco starts talking about his kids and the way they fight when they brush their teeth. And I'll tell you, Mason, like, I started crying because my kids fight the same exact way over brushing their teeth. But he starts saying how, like, he'll drive home from the facility and his wife will call him and just be like, I need you to handle this. I am so tired. I am so over this. And he has to be the bad cop because his poor wife has been the bad cop all day.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's the same way. I mean, when I get home, it's like, Here's or something with cash. She's like, here's cash, and which is great. I love because this time of the year I don't get to spend a whole lot of time at home.
Do you change diapers?
I do change diapers.
Had you ever changed a diaper before you had a baby?
Not as much as my wife would probably want me to, but I do change diapers. Before baby, no, I did not change any diapers.
Never.
No.
I can't remember. T.J. Watt once said that he would not babysit his brother's kids because he doesn't change diapers. Like, how do you not?
I think I was the same way. I have a niece and nephew, and I was like, when they were little, I was like, I can't babysit because if they go to I can't change a diaper.
Okay, but now Mike Tomlin has decreed that you're the leader and that you're the communication hub. And
so now I have to. Now I have to. I have no choice.
I mean, and on a team like this that is
someone's
this young of an offense, it's almost like it falls on you.
Someone's got to do it.
Is that something you think about when you sign with a new team? Did you look at the roster and think, these are a lot of young guys and they need something different from me besides just showing up and playing?
No, I mean, not the whole roster. I knew a little bit about the offensive line and just knew that as a whole, the offensive line was relatively young. So I knew coming into it, they were kind of going to expect me to be some sort of leader.
Wait, take me back. Hold on. What was Arizona when you were drafted and what was Minnesota? Were they both young lines or were they?
So when I was drafted to Arizona, we had my rookie year, we probably had five plus year guys. Like,
oh, wow.
Maybe 3 8-plus-year guys.
Okay. So you were the young buck.
And then when I got traded to Minnesota, kind of young line, but they'd all been there for the most of their career.
Okay.
So they played together for 3 4 years. And they get to here, and me and James are new. And just some not inexperienced, but a younger offensive line that I kind of knew. And playing center, too. It happens naturally with that position, I feel like, across the NFL.
Is it true that the center really is the smartest guy on the line?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you ask
James Daniels, though, he'll say him. No, but it just kind of comes naturally because you're kind of commanding, making sure these guys are all going the right places. So,
are you the one that's setting the? I mean, you have a rookie quarterback, so you're setting the line, right?
Yeah.
And are you identifying the mic, or is Kenny identifying the mic?
Me.
Okay, so you're taking things off of his plate, clearly.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. You don't sound too convinced about that.
No, I am. Yeah. Okay. But he's got a lot on his plate, so it's. I mean, but that's at most places. That's what the center does.
Yeah, but there are. You know,
unless
I've had
you have a guy like Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady that
has done it for like two decades. A completely different thing. Who did I talk to? Now I'm trying to think about this. There was a young quarterback I talked to this year who was saying that was taken off his plate and it just made a significant difference. Like it was one less thing to have to think about.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I feel like I have a lot on my plate, but then I realize that the quarterback has. I mean, what they have on their plate mentally is there's so much going on in their head at one time.
So why do we talk about chemistry so much with the offensive line?
Why? I think because it's 5 guys all playing right next to each other. So if there's not chemistry, it's going to stand out.
Okay. Is it hard to manufacture?
I think it takes time, right? I think the only way to build that chemistry is reps, right? So I think... for the most part, it's reps and time together and learning how everyone plays, everyone communicates, how the different personalities, because we have 5 guys in the offense line, but there's five very different personalities and different techniques and different ways of play and different mentalities when they're on the field. So you're always learning about the guy next to you and across the line.
I will say this, though, Mason. The 2 best lines that I ever covered, so one was actually the Steelers line. When it was, now I'm on the spot. I'm the one that brought it up, and I'm going to screw it up, right? It was Marcus Gilbert, David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey, Ramon Foster, and... Oh, and Al. I should text Al and be like, Al, I forgot you. Okay, so it was the 5 of them. And then the other best line, which was actually better, sorry, guys, was... David Deal at left tackle, Rich Soibert at left guard, Sean O'Hara at center, Chris Snee at the other guard, and Kareem McKenzie at the other tackle. New York Giants.
What year was that?
Oh, that was when the Giants won the Super Bowl, like the first time
around.
Would have
been, so, what like, year? 2008.
You were like in elementary school.
Yeah.
So like early 2010-11.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So like 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
And both the reason I'm bringing this up, all 5 guys on both of those lines were totally completely different.
Oh, 100%.
Such different humans. But they played together for like 4 or 5 years.
I tell people this all the time. If the offensive line room in the building is the most interesting room in every NFL building across the league, it's the most interesting room in the building.
They're the most intellectual guys.
Yeah,
they're the guys that are sort of like the punter. You never want to hear about them.
Yeah,
like you
exactly.
only hear
exactly.
when
yeah.
they screw up,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
And in general, if they're doing their job, you're never talking about
yeah.
them.
And it's just the personalities that you get in an offensive line room is it's what makes everything so fun, right?
Is that the position you chose when you were a child?
No. I played like tight end, fullback, like defensive end. Until I got to high school.
And then were you just bigger than everyone?
Yeah.
And why center on the line? Why not anything else?
So I actually played tackle all through high school.
Okay.
I played
left or right?
Left tackle. I played left tackle my first year at Michigan, my second year at Michigan. Coach Harbaugh moved me to center my junior year.
Were you angry? Or were you like, okay, that works?
No, I was... I told you this before. I'm a Harbaugh. I'm a ride or die Harbaugh guy. So he said it was gonna be best for me. So I said, okay, whatever you say.
You know what's so funny? So last week, that's what Zach Gentry told us. He showed up in Michigan as a quarterback.
Exactly.
And Jim's like, or Coach Harbaugh is like, you know what? You're gonna make the league as a tight end, and he said it's okay.
So that's what happened to me. He moved me to center, and then my senior year, he moved me back to left tackle.
Because that's what he needed, or he thought that was a better
chance? We had some bad injuries my junior year. We didn't have a whole lot of depth at tackle, and I played 2 years there. And just
but you've played multiple positions in the league too, right?
Yep. My rookie year, I started as center. My second year, I was like a swing interior guy. Started a couple games at guard. My third year, started at center. And then last year, a few games at guard and a few games at center.
Okay, so what's your favorite?
Center because I think I'm better at it.
No, it's because you want to touch the ball every play.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure though.
I mean,
no, I do. I like playing center. I like the leadership aspect of it. Playing guard can really suck in the NFL. There's it's a lot of one-on-one matchups. Not that there's not at center or tackle, but.
No, tackle, you often get a tight end or a running back to help you chip a great D end.
Yeah, right. If you're playing a really elite pass rusher. But the thing is, in this league, every week has one, if not two, elite pass rushers that you're dealing with every week. And it seems like every year there's more and more of them, and it's just becoming tougher and tougher and bigger challenge for us. So,
okay, so Mason, part of the magic of this show is that I don't make you answer all the questions that you answer in a locker room or dance around them.
Yeah.
As I teach Pat Fryermuth, word salad. When you don't want to answer a question, just offer word salad.
I am the king of not having any headlines.
Oh. All right. Well, anyway, so I'm not putting you on the spot right here.
So you're going to ask me one of those questions that they ask?
Sort of, kind of, but not really. Thinking about snapping the ball, is there a big difference snapping to Mitch Trubisky versus Kenny Pickett?
No.
Oh, so they, like, basically want the ball in the same spot.
Yeah, I mean, every quarterback, it's shotgun, everyone quarterback wants to hear it. Under center, it's...
Yeah, but what if you have a short quarterback?
I've had a short quarterback. It's all the same.
Oh, yeah, you had Kyler Murray, didn't you?
Kyler Murray, yeah.
And who'd you have? Oh, you had Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
Can we talk about Kirk Cousins and the gold chain?
I would love to.
All right, on that note, when we come back, we're going to talk about the gold chains and Kirk Cousins. I've known Kirk Cousins since his rookie year.
I love
Kirk. I was covering Washington when Robert Griffin and then Kirk Cousins were both drafted.
As much of a Harbaugh believer I am,
and look,
Steph
is doing the Kirk Cousins dance right there. You are a Kirk believer?
I'm a huge Kirk believer.
Okay, but he is a little goofy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
That's probably why you believe in him.
But he knows it, too, and he doesn't let anybody change it. He's just who he is, and I think he's... He gets. I felt like in the past, and I was only there 1 year, but in the past he's gotten a lot of crap in the media for maybe being dorky or not this crazy hip guy. But Kirk's a baller. He's a baller. I'm a believer.
I was there for his very first start. It was in Cleveland in 2012. RG3 got hurt. He found out Saturday night he was starting, and he threw for more than 300 yards.
I'm a believer.
Changed the trajectory of Robert Griffin's career, which we can come back to. But in any case, stick right with us. 93.7 The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. When we come back, more of Mason Cole. And we are indeed back with Off the Field and with Mason Cole, who obviously loves Kenny Pickett and obviously loves Mitch Trubisky and obviously loves Mason Rudolph and obviously loves Zach Gentry should he ever get to be like the emergency quarterback. But outside the quarterbacks that are on your team, you really, really enjoy Kirk Cousins?
I do enjoy Kirk. Like I said, I was only there for a year, but I just really appreciated how much of a professional he was. He was so locked in and so dialed. I think he's gets super disrespected from the media because he's kind of dorky, but...
Kind of?
Yeah, I don't think he's as... Like, he's a little quirky, but he knows it, and he, like... He doesn't let anybody change it. It just is who he is. And
who's the dorkiest guy in the Steelers? Like, who's the guy, if he wasn't your teammate, you'd sort of stay away from at, I don't know, Panera or the school library?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't want to put anybody on blast.
I mean, really, isn't that part of the fun, though?
I would say Mitch is kind of a dork. In a good way, though. I like just like Kirk. J.C. Hasenauer, like D-Watt. Trying to think who else.
Wait a minute. You're calling Derek a... You know,
yeah,
Derek.
He's kind of a dork.
Okay, yeah. His wife is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, Derek's got that.
There's a lot of... You'd be surprised.
Yeah. Well, you know what's so funny? I remember asking... I think it was Alex Highsmith. I was like, of all your teammates, who would you let date your sister? You want to guess who he guessed?
No.
Who would you let date your sister?
If I had to pick one person, honestly, I would pick, like, I'd probably pick J.C. Hasenauer. Or Mitch or D-Watt, the same dorky guys. Like, they're not same dorky, but they have like a dorky, like dorkier side. Like they could have a dorkier side.
I think it's good to be like. I think you lean into who you are, right? Alex actually said Minka. He said he thinks Minka's
a good guy. Oh, Minka,
that's
a good answer. That's a great answer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I also asked if you had a flat tire, who would you call to come and pick you up?
Who? Flat tire. Like, who would I know would answer, or who would I call to come fix the tire?
Yeah, both. Like, the guy has to answer, and he has to be able to help you.
To fix the tire?
Like, don't call, like, you call TJ, he'll be like, call AAA, bud.
Yeah, that's what I would do, too.
Okay, but who'd be a guy that would, like, show up for you?
Ooh, this is tough.
He's running through the whole locker room and he can't come up with anybody.
I think like Kendrick Green. I think he'd always look out for the guys.
You think Kendrick knows how to change a tire?
Oh, that's a good point. He has no idea. I would probably pick J.C. Hasenauer.
All right, so clearly we're going to need to get
J.C. on
the show.
We spent a lot of time together. We're centers, so like we spent a lot of time together. And
he did a very good job last year when he was called upon.
I don't know if he can change a tire, but I would assume he would know more than me.
Why?
Oh, actually, no. Gunner. I would choose Gunner. 100%.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know that he would know how to do it?
He's from, like, Southeast Texas. Like, he changes his own oil in his truck.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Really?
He's like, why don't you do it? It's like, because I just pay $80 for someone else to do it for me. Because I'll mess it up. So he's got to know how to change. I would call Gunner.
It's
sure.
Funny. We were talking about the Steelers' former long-standing line, and we were talking about Al Villanueva. Do you know he used to drive this old, like, beater of a truck?
Really?
And that's the vehicle that he taught Juju Smith-Schuster how to drive in?
Oh, yeah, because he rode a bike when he first got here, right?
Well, Juju was from L.A., so he'd never been – and he was, like, 19, maybe 20 when he was drafted.
When did you
so
get your driver's license?
As soon as I could, 17. In the state of New Jersey, I think you get it at 17.
17?
Yeah.
Wow, not 16?
No, I don't think so. I think it's 17 in New Jersey. Maybe
that makes sense.
16.
If you live in the big city, you don't have to, like, imagine there's a lot of people in New York City
so
that don't
So in Florida, it was 16?
Yeah.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't know that we should talk about Florida. We might not be such great friends anymore.
Why?
You know, it's an interesting state.
What's wrong with it? You're from New Jersey and New York.
Excuse me. That's as good as it gets.
Just as interesting.
I will say, I did just spend the weekend on the Atlantic Ocean in Jacksonville, Florida, and it was stunning and
plus
gorgeous
Florida's
and
filled,
amazing.
Half of Florida is filled with New Yorkers and people from New Jersey.
That is a very fair point. There are a lot of people who retired. Are your parents still in Florida?
Yeah.
Okay, so do they fly up to still watch you play?
Uh-huh.
Every single weekend?
If I'm playing, I don't think they've missed a game where I've been playing.
Really? Mm-hmm. You know, I was just at a game so I'm very friendly with Ja'Marr Chase's parents. And Ja'Marr Chase, of course, the Bengals wide receiver, is hurt right now.
Yeah.
And his parents still went to the Monday night game in Cleveland to support the team.
Right.
And his mother was just, like, melting down. Like, it was way too hard for her to watch. And his father was like, oh, Ja'Marr could have done this, and Ja'Marr could have done that, and Ja'Marr could have opened up this. It was actually really hard for them to watch a game that their son was not participating in.
Yeah, I think I got hurt last year. My parents didn't go to any games when I was hurt. But sometimes, like, if I wasn't starting or something, they would still go because they'd already booked the ticket. And we were just it's already booked. Like,
so are your parents the kind that give you input? Like,
No.
And they don't ask any questions?
I mean, they ask questions. My dad will give me some input.
Is your dad a football guy?
Because of me.
Oh, okay.
Because he has to be, right? Like,
so he's not saying to you, hey, what's the difference between Najee Harris and Jalen Warren?
No, he'll pick my ear about stuff. And he
Did
works.
You answer?
But it can be hard to explain for someone that's not in. Like, my dad works in, like, the fertilizer industry, and he sells wood pallets, and he works in logistics. Like, three things that I don't know much about. So when I start asking him about, like, the fertilizer industry, like, it sounds like a different language to me.
In one era.
So when I start explaining, like, football to him, I think he pretends like he understands it, but I don't know how much he understands.
But isn't that part of it? Like, coming up with an analogy or an explanation or, you know, like, I always, when people ask me about something not working in an offense, I'll always say it's like a puzzle. Like, all the pieces, it's never any one thing.
Right.
Or it's rarely.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it could be.
Right.
Like, you know, the center might just suck and then that's it.
Yeah. Happens a lot.
In general, there are so many different things that all have to fit right.
No, I mean, my parents, especially like my dad or my mom will pick my ear too, but they know that this time of the year is kind of crazy and there's a lot going on and it's just each week, from week to week, it's just so crazy each week in the NFL that you play on Sunday, Monday you're correcting the film, and Tuesday you're on to the next team, and so they know how chaotic it is. So they I don't know if they try not to bug me, but they don't bug me with a whole bunch of football questions.
So let's say this: you don't read the media, you don't know what the general narrative is around this team right now. So let me just ask you, like, blankly, what's something that you feel really good about? Like, what's something that makes you feel, okay, we're coming off the bye, and this is something to feel positive about?
I think we made some I don't want to say changes, but like corrections, and I think the bye week was good for us. And I think coming into this week, I think there was new energy, there was revitalized energy. I think we were playing with confidence, and I think we were going through such a kind of lull in our offense that was kind of maybe sucked out of us, and I feel like our bye week was good for us for that. And
it brought
us back to life.
That was word salad right there. That was literally not saying anything. Have you ever listened to a Mike Tomlin press conference?
Yeah, like clips.
So are you so impressed with the way he says he uses so many words to say nothing?
Yeah. No, but I mean that when I say – I mean, I could – schematically, we're doing a lot of things and this and that, but like you don't know until you go Sunday. But just this week, I think there was a new energy and revitalized energy. Just
from getting a break, you think? Just from being able to step
back? Getting a break
back?
And, you know, we were in the building till Wednesday and just met a bunch as an offensive unit. I think we were able to make strides in where we want to be. And the biggest thing is going on Sunday and doing it, right? We can talk about how we want to do things, how we want to be better, but we still have to go out on Sunday and do it. So it's only been 5 days since the bye week, so that's all I can give you.
I mean, that's fair. But you can feel it. Are you the sort of person that, like, cares how you practice? Like, that was a fun practice, or that was a good pace, or there was urgency to that, or there was a seriousness to that?
I feel like it seems like you don't care until you have a bad practice, and then...
Oh, and then you know.
And then you know, right? So if you know you have a bad practice, then you care, right? I think it's... You can tell when you've had good practices and bad practices. It's like a unit.
You've had two other head coaches.
I've had three other head coaches. Yes, Steve Wilkes, yep. Cliff Kingsbury, and Mike Zimmer.
Who, very sadly, just lost his son. How different are Steelers' practices? What is one major difference in Mike Tomlin and the way he runs practice from the previous three?
I think he keeps the competitive nature in practice. Like when you get into like week 8, week 9, week 10, and so on in the season, practices can get a little dull sometimes. Like the tempo can be slowed down, and not that it's like walkthrough, but just a little slower tempo, especially when you're not in pads. The tempo can change quickly. But I think Tomlin does a really good job of making sure that's not happening to us. Anyway, you have to learn how to practice not in pads, and when you're in pads, there's a difference. But he keeps it competitive. And
is there anything about him that's surprising? Like, you knew him from afar, now actually being around him.
I didn't know how well of a leader he was. I didn't know that about him. I knew who Mike Tomlin was, right? But I hadn't done like background research on Mike Tomlin in my previous years. But
what do you mean by that? Because that's what we always say, is that Mike Tomlin never loses a team, that a Mike Tomlin team is always competitive. What is it about him as a leader that strikes you that way?
It's tough to put words. It's hard to say, right? It's like,
listen, you're supposed to sit here and say he's a steady Eddie.
He is, though. I mean, that's one thing, too, is, like, he's never going to change. And, you know, he says something kind of repetitively, and he says you can hate your performance, but you can never hate yourself. And for me, a guy that has been through some ups and downs in the league, that, to me, shows you what kind of leader he is. That there's going to be good days and bad days in this league, especially on Sundays. There's a lot of good days and a lot of bad days, personally. But you can't hate yourself over it. You gotta learn through it. And it's just little things like that, little tidbits like that that make him that leader and make you willing to go play as hard as you want, not fear of failing, just playing hard and knowing that film on Monday might suck, but we're going to do everything we can to make the corrections.
So you don't listen, but there has been sort of a lot of chatter that the film sucks perhaps more than you think it does.
The film, wait, what do you mean?
Meaning that fans sort of are really deriding the way the offense is playing right now.
Someone told me this a long time ago that the film, it's never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it is. So like when things are going really good, like you can think you played a really good game, and you turn the film and like, maybe I didn't play as good as I thought I did. Or the vice versa. You think, man, I played like crap today. You watch the film the next morning, you're like, yeah, I didn't play my best, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. And I think that's very true as an offense as a whole too, right? Like, we obviously haven't performed the way we wanted to, but I think we've been closer than the outside world thinks. It's just some of these things, when you don't score points in the red zone, when you're not producing a whole bunch of yards, it looks a lot worse, but the plays have been out there to be had. We just haven't made them, and I don't think it's always as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it is.
And you know what? It's just like that on TV.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's a performance industry, right?
Right.
Anyway, all right, when we come back, we're going to go talk about some more things, more fun things off the field. We don't have to talk Steelers anymore, right? We can talk about Michigan if we want.
Great.
I mean, big win against Rutgers.
Yeah. What about the week before?
Oh, that was the week before?
No, Michigan State. I want to throw that in there.
You want to go to that one. The Rutgers one didn't mean anything for you, clearly. All right. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We're live at Mineo's, the best pizza in Pittsburgh. We'll see you in just a minute. We are indeed at Mineo's Pizza in Allison Park. We're hanging out with Mason Cole, who's originally from Chicago and did indeed grow up a Bears fan. So how long does that fandom last? Like, are you still sort of tied to...
No,
were you
no.
a Cubs or White Sox guy?
I was a White Sox fan.
Do you still watch the White Sox?
No, kind of. I feel like I kind of grew out of baseball. And then once I got in the NFL, my ties with the Bears were...
That's just done.
Gone.
You don't own anything like navy and orange?
No, I own a lot of navy, but it's navy and yellow.
Wait, so when you were in high school, were you in Florida or were you in
Florida,
Illinois?
Yeah. Florida. So okay. I moved to Florida when I was like six, and then was in Florida ever since.
But you were still a White Sox fan.
Yeah. My dad was a White Sox fan. My mom was a Cubs fan. So I don't know. Growing up, I guess I chose the White Sox.
And where in Florida did you grow up?
Right outside of Tampa, like Palm Harbor, Clearwater area.
Yeah. So did you fish?
No, not
did
really.
Did you surf?
No, not surfing on that side is not good.
Doesn't happen. Okay. What else do you do?
Well,
when
like
you're
I said,
not changing diapers.
I got a kid.
Yeah.
Another one on the way. We got two dogs.
What kind of dogs?
Two labs.
Oh.
So usually when I'm not at football, it's involving something to do with them.
Caretaking.
I golf.
Oh, are you good?
No. I mean, having a kid made me way worse at golf. But
that's what my husband says, too. All right. Prior to your son, what was your handicap?
It was never very good. Like, in 18. Like, it was more like a drinking activity with the guys.
I don't understand this sport. I really genuinely tried to learn
this
summer.
What do you like to do?
I play tennis. I like to run. I love to read. No, tennis is great. First of all, it's an hour.
Not, pickleball?
No, I've never played that. Huh. But I bet I would be better than TJ and Minka.
You think so?
Yeah. I'm a good tennis player.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, and I'm highly competitive. Here's the thing. Tennis is 1 hour.
Those guys are super freaks, though. You just named the two freakiest athletes on our
team.
Yeah,
and a 60-year-old mother, a 60-year-old grandmother beat them in a pickup game. Don't you remember this? Were you around for this?
No, I miss this.
Mason. Okay, so allegedly.
I'm very, unconnected.
Clearly, you don't have a Twitter handle. I tried to tag you this morning. Okay.
I have an Instagram, though. That's it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to find you. In any case, we'll Google this later. Minka, TJ, and Alex Highsmith go to, I think, North Park. To get, a pickup pickleball game. And a 60-something-year-old grandmother also goes there to get a pickup pickleball game. And she sees TJ and Alex playing, and she sees Minka kind of just sitting on a bench, and she's got an extra paddle. So she says, hey, guys, do you want to play? And she and Minka kick the tuchus off of TJ and Alex.
Huh.
And all of a sudden, all these, people in the park start taking their picture. So this 60-something-year-old grandmother sends a photo to her family group chat, because every family has a group chat, and says, hey, I'm not quite sure who these guys are, but people keep taking our picture, the guy in the green shirt, Minka, and I just beat up on these other two, and it was TJ and Alex.
I have seen a picture. I didn't know the story, though. I saw a picture. I think I've seen that picture.
And you were like, what is this all about? Yeah.
And I just say, oh, cool.
But I've heard that TJ is highly competitive. Like, he doesn't like to lose at anything.
Yeah.
Are you that kind of guy? Do you play board games? You're not that competitive.
I play board games, but I'm not. Like, when it comes to, like, board games, it's not, like, I'm not super competitive. Obviously,
Pictionary?
Sports and football competitive.
Pictionary, Trivial Pursuit, Scattergories.
No.
None of that does it for you?
Shoot dice in the locker room. That's competitive.
Is that really? That feels like so, like, what's the skill in that?
There's no skill. It's all luck.
It's luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Pictionary, there's skill. It's like, how well can you draw?
Yeah, but.
Or like Scattergories. How do you act? Or Trivial Pursuit?
I feel like we'll be more of like a board game family when our kids get a little older.
Is your wife into board games?
No, not really. But she likes games. Like, we'll play dominoes, like Mexican dominoes.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a form of dominoes.
Scrabble?
I mean, I know what Scrabble is, but I wouldn't I'm an avid player.
Okay. You golf. There's that.
Golf.
What else do you enjoy? What else is a stress relief? When you get way too many questions about your offensive coordinator, what calms you down?
Turning on a good TV show with my wife when our son goes to bed.
Okay, what's a good TV show?
All the basics.
Like?
I
haven't watched TV in years, by the way.
What did we just watch? We just watched something. I don't know, all like the Netflix essentials.
Have you watched any of the Formula One documentary?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are you more into Formula One because of that?
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. Do you know there are only two sports on the planet right now that have viewership increasing? And that's one, the National Football League, and two, Formula One racing.
It's crazy.
And that is because of that documentary.
Wait, so the National Football League is the only one that has viewership increasing?
And Formula One racing. One? Yeah.
It's interesting.
How do you feel about Hard Knocks?
Since
we're talking about documentaries and going behind the scenes.
I don't watch it very often, but...
Would you be okay if cameras came in to watch the Steelers?
I mean, you have to be okay. They don't really have a choice.
Well, that's the NFL. You don't have a choice. But do you think it would be good for the world to see Mike Tomlin behind the scenes?
Yeah, it'd be good for the world for sure. I think when you bring a bunch of cameras inside, like, intimate settings like that, though... especially like individual meetings and stuff. I don't know. We were on a show called All or Nothing my senior year at Michigan.
Yep. And you know, Zach has an IMDb account because of that.
Really?
Do you? Yeah.
I don't think so.
I didn't see it. Yeah. I was like, what are you, an actor?
But like, and maybe it's because we were in college then, but like, you know, people act different when there's cameras around. I don't know. I thought it was more of a hassle than.
Okay, so it's very interesting you say that, because we just had a meeting at CBS today about this. They're starting to interview coaches in-game. And part of your job as a sideline reporter is you interview one coach heading into the locker room at halftime and one coming out, but you do it without the camera. So you get, like, really good stuff because there's no camera.
Yeah.
So, you know, for instance, this weekend, Doug Peterson, Devontae Adams went off for, I think, 146 yards in the first half. And Doug Peterson is telling me it's not about Tyson Campbell, the corner. He's just saying Derek Carr has way too much time to throw. It has to do with the pass rush.
Right.
I don't know that you get as honest of an answer if there's a camera in his face.
I don't think you do at all.
Right. Like, I think everybody just tightens up.
And I think, like, when you get certain personalities in front of the camera, they just – maybe sometimes they don't tighten up. Maybe they loosen up, and it's just – I don't know.
All right. Who in your locker room loves the camera, though? Like, who gets all excited when the media walks in?
I don't know if anyone gets super excited when the media walks in. Marcus
That's
Allen?
I'm
Marcus
not
Allen?
There. Chico? Oh, Marcus Allen. Allen. Yeah, Marcus Allen likes to talk to people.
Who else? I don't think anybody really enjoys it.
Really? What
the
an
media?
Indictment. Yeah.
I
will have you know that people enjoy talking to me.
They don't not enjoy it, but like they look forward to, like, oh wait, I can't wait to talk to the media today.
But it's not like they have a bad time every time they talk to the media. It's just...
There were definitely guys that look forward to talking to me, but it was not about football. It would be like Al would want to argue with me about like something that happened across the country in some random election.
Yeah, and then you start asking him all the hard questions about football.
No, Al was never good for that. Al likes to argue.
I've heard that.
David would help me a little bit, I would say.
No, I don't think there's like a bad perception about the media, but I don't think guys are super excited to...
Okay, who's the most vain, though? Who spends the most time in front of the mirror?
In front of the mirror? Maybe Kuntz, Christian Kuntz?
The long snapper?
Hope he hears this, too. Hope he hears this.
All right, who would you trust to babysit your child?
Well, it obviously has to be somebody with a kid. Any of these fools without kids, I'm not trusting with my child. I would say... Trent Scott?
I don't know who that is.
Backup tackle for us.
Okay.
Who else?
What about Derek? He has two boys.
Derek, yeah. I let Derek watch my kids, yeah.
Mike Tomlin? Would you drop your son off at Mike Tomlin's house?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love to do that.
You think Mike Tomlin changed diapers when his kids were little?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No question?
For sure.
Now I'm trying to think of totally random questions. Who drives the best car?
I don't know. Like Cam or Deontay? I'm trying to.
Cam's a dad. What does he drive?
But Cam's also year 12 and like an 8-time.
I know, but
Pro
what
Bowler
does he drive? Like, I feel like Cam's the type of guy who could. Couldn't you like totally see him in like an Explorer with the third row?
Yeah.
He's got three kids.
I'm trying to think. Maybe Deontay or Terrell Edmonds. I think they both drive Lamborghinis. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm not a huge car guy either.
Oh, you're not?
No.
What do you drive?
That's just a Chevy pickup truck.
Would you ever drive a minivan?
Would I? I've driven one before, like a rental car.
I would never drive one. Mason, ever.
I mean, they're pretty functional for kids, right?
I mean... My husband actually says it's like a great vehicle to have.
Yeah, because my sister had a minivan, and she said it was actually super functional for
my 6-year-old son thinks they're like awesome.
They
I would
got,
never
like,
drive
TV them. Screens.
Yeah, I'm
what
not
do
doing
you drive?
That. I drive a classic mom car, a Lexus SUV.
Nice. And my wife drives a Expedition.
I mean, that's a mom car.
Yeah.
What else do you expect, right? All right, I'm trying to think of more random questions, and now all of a sudden my brain is not going. Is there anything we missed? Is there anything that you're thinking about as we head to the holiday season or anything as you hit the second half of the football season or anything? Is there anything? Actually, can I ask another
football
question?
Do you like Thanksgiving or Christmas more?
Christmas.
Really?
I'm a vegetarian, so like the turkey doesn't really do it for me.
That makes sense.
And I love the decorations for Christmas. And now that I have two kids, they're like...
You decorate before? Excitement. You decorate for Christmas before Thanksgiving?
No.
Or after Thanksgiving?
I am extremely offended by the fact that before Halloween, Christmas decorations are already out in the store.
My wife started decorating her house for Christmas.
Okay. I don't like that. I'm sorry, but I don't.
It kind of drives me nuts, too.
You know, it's funny, because Pat Fryermuth also loves Christmas and is all about decorating for Christmas. He doesn't know how to have a live tree, though. He said he doesn't know how to take care of a tree, so he has a fake tree.
Would you just pour water in it?
Yes, but Pat, we need to work on Pat. I like, what about Pat? You wouldn't trust Pat to babysit your kids?
No. No.
Zach, what about Zach? Zach was great with my daughter last week.
Yeah,
I'll
he's great with kids, but not alone.
Really? I mean, we're talking about a few hours. Zach would be great, and Zach's like so big they could climb all over him.
I mean, I think our son would survive, but it wouldn't be my first choice. No offense to Zach.
And, you know, Zach recommended you. Zach was like, Mason would be a great
Yeah, because I'm a dad.
Your...
That's why I said I would pick a dad.
Yeah, wait, where was I going with this? Christmas, yeah. So my birthday is December 2nd. So I have this very strong sense of order. First, you have to have a Halloween. Then you have to have Thanksgiving. Then you have my birthday. And then you can have Christmas.
Did you like having a birthday close to Christmas?
No.
You get less presents?
Yes.
Dang.
But I was also, my
wife
also,
is worried about that for our son.
I'm also the daughter of immigrants, so there wasn't like a ton of money, and it was sort of convenient for them to be like, oh, here's your birthday and Christmas present. But, you know.
What about New Year's? What's your thoughts on New Year's?
Amateur hour.
Like, not a real holiday?
I mean, it's like everybody who doesn't hang out otherwise goes out and gets ridiculous and,
I think it's a made-up holiday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.